Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing career pivoting in a changing economy.
Yeah, man, pivoting. That's one of those fancy business terms, right? Like, we need a title that includes pivoting, synergy, and these days, like, virtual, I guess.
All the Zoom. Hot buzzwords.
Yeah, all the hot technical terms that people are incorporating into business these days. But that is what we're going to talk about. We're talking specifically about pivoting, what that might look like for a lot of people these days, and then how to actually do that well. We're going to wrap the episode up with some steps there, man. So yeah, buddy, I'm really looking forward to this one, and I think this is going to help a lot of folks really to just look ahead and maybe to look at the world with a different light. That's what I hope for us to accomplish today.
Yeah, there are a lot more people that probably need to look into a pivot right now when it comes to their career. There are other people who might just want to make a change. And no matter where you fall on that spectrum, I think this episode is going to help you out. So Matt, but before we get to that, it's May and it's getting hot. And a lot of people are starting to think about the next trip they're going to take and you know, beaches.
Whether beaches are open or not.
Right. And talking about a spectrum, people are going to come down all over that spectrum of whether they actually want to be at a beach anytime soon or not. But from the pictures I've seen, I think people are social distancing well at the beach, and so that's a good sign. So maybe people can go to the beach and be safe. I hope so.
It all comes down to the photography. Because if you shoot down a beach with a really long lens, you know, like just the way distance and lenses work, it stacks everybody on top of each other, and it looks crazy crowded. But if you're sitting there in person, in reality, the closest person to you might be 15 or 20 feet. But again, when you're shooting it from the side, that kind of thing, it really does look insane. And people cast a lot of judgment, I think. But we don't judge, but we also know that, yeah, there are steps that we need to take in order to be smart and to be proactive as we are continuing to live with this virus.
Yeah, and no matter whether you are going to the beach or you're avoiding it, you're probably going to need sunscreen at some point this summer. Whether you're just going on longer walks with the fam, sunscreen is kind of one of those must-haves. And so, Matt, I thought it was appropriate to bring up how much we pay for sunscreen.
A little sunscreen talk.
A little sunscreen talk. Get sexy with the sunscreen talk. And yeah, I think a lot of people assume, most of us assume, that if we pay more for something, we're going to get more value. And you know, you and I both agree that that is the case on certain things, that it's worth it to pay more for things that are actually going to be better. But when you take a look at sunscreen, that's not actually the case. And some of the cheaper sunscreens are just as effective. Most sunscreen does pretty much the exact same thing. So I looked up the Consumer Reports ratings of sunscreen, and they actually say that two of the cheapest sunscreens are the best. Trader Joe's has a 50 SPF sunscreen that is rated really, really highly. And Copper Tone Ultra Guard apparently is the lotion that's most highly rated. And so, yeah, just for folks out there who are thinking, okay, do I need to spend a lot of money to get fancy sunscreen for my family? No, you don't. And really, these cheaper brands are actually going to be just fine for keeping your skin safe during the summer season when we're using more and more sunscreen.
Yeah, and I saw another article too, man, that referenced the AAD, which, do you know what that stands for?
It's got to be like the Association of Dermatology, something like that.
Yes, the American, I think it's the American Academy of Dermatologists,
okay,
something
right.
like that. But there's an article that referenced them as well as the Mayo Clinic. And one of the things they pointed out was that a lot of times we also think not just the more money we spend on something, but the higher the SPF, the better, right? Like, so you see 50 or maybe 75, 100 SPF.
Some of us super pale people need like 3 hundo, or at least we think we do.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's what you think. But in reality, SPF 30, it covers 97% of the UVB rays. And that's what burns your skin. And so that's an overwhelming majority of the amount of sun protection that you need. Right? SPF 50, it increases at 97% to 98%. And so if you are looking at a specific brand and, you know, the SPF 50 costs way more, you're only paying for 1% more. So only maybe if it's the same price, or obviously if you need that extra coverage. If you are super pale because you're from Norway. Like
or
you.
Susceptible to skin issues.
Exactly. That's an instance where you don't want to skimp, right, when it comes to your health. But I found that really interesting. And one other tidbit in there too was that they referenced how sunscreen, like when it's been sitting around from a previous season, you just don't know whether it's good or not, right?
Right.
They said that for the most part, sunscreen has a shelf life of 3 years.
Oh, that's good to know, because I bought some last year at the local thrift store, and my wife kind of gave me crap for it, but it worked just fine. So,
oh my gosh, we're gonna hear from like dermatologists that say, "Dude, you have no idea how old that sunscreen is."
No, I could tell on the bottom there was an expiration.
It had the date on there. Okay.
Yeah, there was an expiration date. It was still within the expiration date. Nice. My wife gave me crap, but we still used it that summer, and we were
and
fine. Yeah, it worked great.
Who goes to a thrift store and finds sunscreen?
This guy.
You do evidently. Yeah. So all that being said, we're good with sunscreen that was manufactured in 2017, or I guess if it has an expiration date on it, you can just refer to that. But I found that really interesting and helpful as well, because I know I found that in the spring or early in the summer, you kind of pull out last year's sunscreen and you think,
should I?
Is this even going to work? But give it a good shake and lather up that skin and yeah, get protected.
All right. Well, yeah, don't cheap out on your health. Don't cheap out on your skin, but you can buy the cheap sunscreen and you'll be just fine. And yeah, look at the ratings. Those ratings in places like Consumer Reports can be a really helpful guide to buy the stuff that actually works the best. And oftentimes it's the cheapest.
Yeah. So. Or what else you can do? You can go dad chic like I do. And wear
long sleeve shirts.
Yeah,
and
just wear clothes on the beach. I mean, anytime I'm not in the water these days, I feel like I'm always wearing like a giant hat and a nice loose fitting long sleeve shirt, because that costs nothing. I already own that shirt, and so I'm gonna save that sunscreen for the kids.
There you go. All right, good point. You have four kids to slather up, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, Matt. Let's mention the beer that we're having on the show today. We're drinking a beer called Twisted Galaxy by Toppling Goliath. It's a double IPA, and we'll give our thoughts on this beer at the end of the show.
Yeah, man, and this one was sent to us by listener Joe up in Minnesota, where maybe there is a less need for sunscreen, but just as much of a need for beer. But
right.
We'll share our thoughts on this beer at the end of the episode.
All right, Matt, on to the topic at hand. We're talking about career pivoting in a changing economy. And change can be a little frightening, but it really is the only constant, right? There's no lack of change in our lives. Change is something that happens whether we want it or not. It's inevitable. And recently on the podcast, Matt, we spoke with Farnoosh Tarabi, and I really appreciated one thing in particular that she said. She said that even if you've lost your job due to COVID, right, and we've seen just massive unemployment numbers, it's been heart-wrenching to see the unemployment numbers get reported, because it's gotten worse and worse, and I feel for everybody who's lost their job. But even if you've lost your job, you still have your skills, you still have your network. And it's so true. She's so right. And so even though I know that losing a job can be super hard, it happened to my dad when I was a kid. I've never forgotten the toll that took on our family. That was such a difficult experience for my dad in particular, but then for all of us as a family unit. I know that something like that, it affects you on more than just a loss of income scale. And hopefully the COVID impact, it's more of an economic bump in the road and not some sort of massive pothole. But either way, it's important to know that you do have resources at your disposal and to figure out what those are so that you can pivot well in this changing economy.
Yeah, Joel, you know, the economy, it really is changing before our very eyes. You know, it's not terribly dissimilar from the way 9/11 changed our government as well as business practices, you know, back then. It really seems that we're seeing industries that were in a slow decline massively accelerating towards demise. In particular, I'm thinking of like brick and mortar retail locations, like clothing retailers specifically.
Gap, J.Crew.
Yeah,
they're not doing well at all.
Yeah, they're not the only ones, right?
Yeah.
And we're seeing other industries that were fairly new and unproven being tested in real time. For example, I'm thinking of like online learning platforms. We're seeing explosive growth when it comes to some of that software. I'm also thinking of online shopping and grocery delivery. They were, of course, becoming a standard for a lot of households, but companies in both of these industries are seeing massive expansion as well. And who knows if that is going to be affected by the changing economy as well, right? Just like we've seen businesses that have been on the path of slow demise, we've seen that accelerated drastically. It's a more painful change because of the circumstances. And I think we're going to see something similar to that when it comes to the workforce and the jobs that we have. So whether we like it or not, the chances that we'll want to or have to pivot when it comes to our careers, I think it's pretty high.
Yeah, Matt, long gone are the days where we work for one company. For 35 years, we collect a pension after we retire. That's just not the norm in today's society. And yeah, working at one place for 4 years and then moving on to the next place, I mean, we could have 10, 11 jobs over the course of our working lifetime. That's a lot of different companies to work for. And at the same time, people are going to be working in different fields inside of those jobs. So yeah, the flexibility we need to have to be able to pivot is amplified right now. And so it's really important, I think, for us to talk about the word pivot and what it means, because it can be an awkward term, an awkward businessy term. And so the first thing I think about when I think about the word pivot is my youth basketball days. They were not good days, I will say.
Those are the days of your Scottie Pippins, right? Like, right. The shoes that you had?
They were the best shoes I've ever owned. They were cool.
So I can't help but to think of the Friends episode where Ross and Chandler are moving the, was it like a sofa or something like that? He's like, pivot.
I never really watched that show, but.
It was good.
All right, I'll have to look it up. But so yeah, I don't think of Friends. I think about my youth basketball days. And I was super tall. People thought I should be able to dunk or be good at basketball at least. Neither were true. but that pivot foot, I remember, was crucial if you wanted to get to the hoop. That strong pivot in order to be able to turn on a dime was a major help in whether or not you were going to be a good basketball player down in the paint, and or if you were going to be able to make that layup on a fast break, if you could pivot strongly. And so basically it means to turn or to rotate. It's that pivot foot that allows you to cut to the basket when otherwise you were headed for the out of bounds line. And so yeah, hopefully that puts an idea in your mind of what it looks like. It's planting that foot so that you can turn on a dime to go in a different direction. That's kind of what we're talking about. It's that career pivot in order to be able to do something different. And Matt, I want to throw an example out there of an old school business person who could show us what a good pivot looks like. And it was the guy who founded Wrigley's Gum. And it turns out what he was doing was he was a salesperson for baking powder. I don't think they have those people anymore.
Maybe not specifically for baking powder, but maybe all of Arm & Hammer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But so he was selling baking powder business to business, and he was giving away gum while he was doing his work. And it turned out that his clients liked the gum more than the other products he was selling.
Nice.
So this light bulb went off and he said, I'm going to go into gum manufacturing. And so that's just kind of the sweet pivot. You start to see what people like about what you're providing. And maybe it's not your bread and butter. Maybe it's this side thing that you had going on. And then you realize, oh, wait, that's the true gold. I'm going to mine that. I'm going to pivot. I'm going to make that my full-time thing. Or maybe you're realizing in your current job that it's not utilizing your strongest abilities, your best skills. And so it's time to pivot and use those more effectively, right?
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes too, it's not out of a desire to do something new, but it's out of a necessity, right? Like I'm thinking of a couple weeks ago, we mentioned that pub owner in the UK where he was, you know, obviously his bar is closed, his pub is closed, but he switched it up and he is now delivering his cask ales to his customers. And I feel like that's just an awesome opportunity where he saw the need, figured out how he could solve that problem, and started doing it.
Yeah.
Who knows what that's going to continue to look like for him, because he may have just started a new beer delivery service, you know?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, an older guy. And so maybe a lot of folks who, you know, maybe are in their 40s and 50s are possibly thinking of a career change like this, but it's not always for folks who are later in their career. You know, you might only have a few years in the workforce, and maybe you already realize that you would like to, and potentially maybe you even need to pursue a different career. And oftentimes, I think it might even be easier to pivot into something else if you're younger, right? Before you become specialized. A lot of that, I think, has to do with the responsibilities that you have. You know, typically, I think when you're younger, you have fewer debt obligations. You don't have a giant mortgage, perhaps, on a house. And you also haven't been in a specific industry, you know, developing this specialty where you have very specialized skills. I mean, I'm thinking of like myself, actually. So I used to be in advertising and I worked there for a couple years. That happened to be right when the Great Recession was going on. And I was able to pivot out of advertising and working for an agency and started my own photography business. And by switching it up like that, I was able to use skills that suited me a little bit better. But also just agency life kind of didn't suit me, right? Just the showing up in an office every day. I didn't really, let's just say that it was my favorite thing to do.
That Mad Men lifestyle didn't work out for you?
If only it was like that, I probably would have been okay with it. But
old fashions at 3 p.m. every day?
Terrible for your liver, actually. But I was also able to make more money. I mean, literally that first year that I went full time with photography, I was able to make twice as much as I was making the previous year working for a real company. And that actually isn't saying much because I was basically making just minimum wage, like barely $30,000 a year before taxes. But either way, we want folks to look for those different opportunities.
Yeah, Matt. And I feel like down economy, sometimes that is the perfect time to pivot, although it doesn't always feel like that. But that's what you did. A lot of people have found a lot of success in starting their own thing when the economy's been experiencing rough times. So as workplaces are transforming and they're going to continue to do so, it's important to think about where your particular skills are going to fit well. It's obviously contingent on the work you do, your personal goals, but taking those into account, now might just be the perfect time to pivot into something new. Whether that's taking a new job in the same industry, garnering new skills to help you break into a new line of work, or even starting your own business, going out on your own. So we're going to talk more about how to pivot as the economy changes right before our very eyes, right after the break.
All right, Joel, we are back from the break. We're talking about career pivoting in a changing economy. And before we dive into, you know, how to pivot well, let's talk about basically what pivoting looks like and what it could look like for folks today. And we can start by talking about what it doesn't look like. Specifically, we're not talking about everybody learning how to code, because I feel like that's like the typical answer. They're like, oh, you just need to learn how to code.
Learn how to code, bro. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
And they're talking like 55-year-old truck drivers who
not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Who work in a completely different field and learning something new at that point in time. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think, yeah, sometimes that continuing education, learn to code kind of thing is actually more harmful than it is helpful.
Yeah, and oftentimes, too, that's a recipe for disaster, right? Like, you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. It's not really going to work out. And, you know, politicians, they might sound smart, too, when they're talking about retraining the workforce for the jobs of tomorrow, like that whole kind of mindset of optimism and looking forward and, we need to be flexible. But oftentimes, that is kind of pie in the sky, right? Not many people are helped by these kinds of retraining efforts. And so we just wanted to make clear that this type of message is not what we're trying to convey today. This isn't what we're talking about. So, like, on that note, let's talk about what it will take in order to pivot effectively.
All right, let's do that. So, yeah, pivoting, does it require going back to school? I think that's one question people might have is, do I have to go get an education? Do I have to spend money in order to pivot and do something different with my life that could hopefully earn me more, be a steadier paycheck, be something I enjoy doing more? And school could be in your future. You could decide that pursuing education or another degree will help you make the best pivot possible. And if that is the case, I think tougher economic times are, again, a fantastic time to go back to school, right? Matt, recently we talked about borrowing costs. They're greatly reduced right now for going to school for this next term. It's going to be so much cheaper to take out that debt, which means it's going to weigh less heavily on you when you do graduate with that degree. And at the same time, it's kind of harder to find an awesome job right now. So if the pivot you do want to make involves getting another degree, well, then now might be the perfect time to do that. So don't write off higher education when you're considering your next move, when you're considering the pivot that you might need to make.
Yeah, and on that note, I want to kind of provide a quick counter to that, which is, so on Monday's episode, we took a listener's question, Rick, and he talked about how he took a job at a hospital getting experience and working within the hospital setting. And obviously, if you want to become a doctor, you got to go to med school. You can't just like work your way up the ranks.
It's not like being a podcaster where get a mic and you throw it up there.
Yeah, just start dabbling around a little bit, neurosurgeon.
Right.
Start working on people's brains. But I keep thinking about how smart that was for him to do. In his case, he was able to kind of get that experience and get a feel for what hospital life was like. Get a feel for helping people when it comes to your work. But I think there are a lot of industries where folks can do that, where they can kind of dabble a little bit and not necessarily take those formal steps of education in order to kind of get their foot in the door. So it might not mean that additional formal education. However, it will likely mean kind of brushing up on some specific skills that you have, right? Like these could be those hard skills that come in handy with a specific job that you have to do. And there are a lot of different resources online, but especially given the pandemic, there have been a lot of free options as well. Like Coursera, you know, they're offering their online catalog for free if you're unemployed. There are a lot of resources out there for folks, and we want folks to realize that there are channels and there's ways to increase your knowledge without taking out student loans, without, you know, taking 2 years off of not working in order to study and go to school. But in addition to those hard skills, don't forget the soft skills that are necessary to thriving in today's work world as well. Oftentimes it's these soft skills that are the most transferable regardless of the industry.
Matt, that makes me think of, I think it's Warren Buffett. I think he's got his graduation certificate from Toastmasters up on the wall in his office.
Nice.
I think it's him. But yeah, so many people have said that going through Toastmasters, which is either free or just incredibly cheap, and there's all these local chapters of Toastmasters. I think we've got a couple in our area, but learning how to be a better public speaker and getting together with other people and actually practicing it is so helpful. And that is one of those soft skills that does, regardless of the industry you work in, have an effect on the kind of jobs that you can potentially get. So in particular, Toastmasters is one of those things that people could kind of take a look at. But it's awesome to know that there are resources like that. Outside of getting an extremely expensive college degree, there are all these other ways ways in which you can benefit yourself that cost very little money and that can have a big impact on what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and a lot of times too, you might be in a position to where you're thinking, okay, cool, what soft skills do I need to work on? It's hard to know, right? Like, do I need to work on my communication? Do I need to work on being a better team player or being more adaptable or emotional intelligence? There are all these different channels that kind of feed into what we consider soft skills. And I think one of the best ways potentially to figure out what you need to work on is to ask your employer. You don't have to tell them that, like, hey, I'm trying to better myself so that I can pivot and take a job elsewhere. But literally go to them and ask, like, what would make me a better employee? And a lot of times supervisors and bosses, they're probably going to have something to say. they're going to have a pretty clear understanding of how you could be a better employee. And certainly those things would also benefit other jobs and other industries that you might find yourself in.
Yeah, and you might be able to just pivot your way up the ladder where you currently work too.
That's true.
Yeah. But I think it's important to note too, Matt, that you don't have to work for someone else, right? A good pivot might mean starting your own thing. And it's never been easier technologically to do that, right? When you started your own photography business, it was so much easier to get the word out about a business that you started 10 years ago than it was 30 years ago.
Facebook. That's so much of our original business plan was based on Facebook and the communication and the networking that it allows, man. I mean, a lot of businesses today are still primarily reliant on Facebook.
Yeah.
But yeah, for us back then, man, it was clutch.
Yeah. And the great thing about having your own business too is that it becomes exactly what you make of it. And I think too, Matt, sometimes people think about starting their own business and it seems like this really risky endeavor. Makes me think of our conversation with Vincent Puglisi, and I thought he had some good things to say about that. I was in that camp. I used to think that starting your own business was risky, was scary. But now I kind of believe the exact opposite. I think there's something so much sturdier about having your own business and not being reliant on an employer for your income. And the sky's the limit at the same time, right? That's one of the things that Vincent noted. And it's totally true that owning your own business, you kind of set the cap. You set the cap for hours worked, which is a great thing, but it can also be detrimental, right? We can overwork ourselves in our own business. But we set the cap on earnings. We set the cap on our hourly rate. There are all these things, these levers that we have control over, based in large part on how good our work is. But yeah, it's important to note that when we're thinking about pivoting, you don't have to think about a 9-to-5 job working for somebody else. You can also think about pivoting to being able to do your own thing.
Yeah, and if you're considering doing your own thing, it doesn't have to be this massive, you know, business where you have tons of employees, right? These digital micro businesses are having a major impact on the economy. There's research based on over 20 million websites that are hosted by these small businesses, right? And it turns out that the counties where these businesses are based experienced a much stronger recovery after the 2008 housing crisis, after the Great Recession. And so the spillover effects that these small businesses have is pretty large and something certainly to keep in mind.
And they just seem so much more resilient. It's more resilient for the local economy and so much easier to bounce back as that individual business owner as opposed to just a complete layoff and a complete 100% reduction in income.
Yeah, and on that note, there's a New York Times article, and they discussed these two sisters who started a business selling cheesecakes 2 years ago during the government shutdown. They called their business Furlough Cheesecake.
Appropriately named.
Yeah, because of the government furlough that was happening. And now they're crushing it. You know, it took a lot of hard work to build their business up, but, you know, last year they sold 6,000 cheesecakes alone.
Dang. That's a lot of cheesecakes.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of cheesecake. I want some of that.
Yeah, and I read too that because of COVID, their sales are down right now. I think they've been cut close to in half, but that's so much better than completely losing a job. And so the ladies at Furlough Cheesecake seem to have pivoted extremely well when they were experiencing a tough time, basically being furloughed from their government job.
Maybe now they can pivot into pandemic pies.
So many options. Yeah, maybe that's the spinoff business, right? Yeah, and one of the reasons, Matt, that particular business, whether it's pandemic pies or furlough cheesecakes, is going to survive this downturn is because they've kept their costs down. That was one of the things they talked about in the article. I think in particular, they said that they started baking in their church's kitchen. So keeping that cost down was crucial to being able to get off the ground. And staying lean is such an important thing that we need to talk about and that we need to get right if we want to be able to pivot well. And so we're going to talk more about that and some other things that people need to consider and things that you need to do right now if you are looking to pivot in any one of the ways that we just mentioned. So we'll get to some of that stuff in just a second.
All All right, man, we are back from the break. And, you know, we talked about what pivoting might look like for a lot of folks today. So now let's talk about how and what to do in order for us to pivot successfully. And the first thing we want to encourage folks to do is to think ahead, right? To prepare. So here's a little dated reference for you, but like you didn't want to be the last person at the typewriter factory when it shut down, right? Like,
right.
You wanted to be working at IBM at that point.
Okay, I guess a modern one, the mall clothing store.
There you go. You don't want to still be working at Hot Topics. It's important to ask questions like how will consumer habits change in the coming weeks and months given the current pandemic that we're living in? Like how can I create a winning business that will serve the needs of people in a changing economy? If you continue to do things the way that they were formerly done, like there is going to be a good chance that your skills, you know, or your business, it won't have the strength to survive. So doing some thinking about your current or your desired industry and what evolutions are taking place, like that's going to help you to be prepared to pivot well because it's something that you've thought through.
Yeah, Matt, before the break, we just talked about the ladies that started Furlough Cheesecake. And I think one of the biggest takeaways that I had from reading their story was that they stayed lean, that they kept their expenses incredibly low. They didn't start their business by renting out a really nice kitchen in order to be able to ramp up production. They didn't buy a whole lot of equipment. They stayed lean.
Well, yeah, in particular, like commercial kitchen equipment is crazy expensive. I don't know if you've ever looked at prices on, Restaurant Depot or some of those sites. Kate's really into cooking, so sometimes we consider, maybe we should have a Hobart instead of a dishwasher. And then we're like, oh, wow, no, that's 5 times more expensive than a normal dishwasher.
Oh, gosh.
It's insane.
Yeah, that sounds frighteningly expensive to start up that business if you're doing it at a premium level.
Yeah.
Right? But if you can kind of bootstrap it, you're going to be able to go a lot further. Individuals, of course, have the ability to pivot and make better decisions the more money they've got saved up. Matt, you and I, we've called this peace out money. The more money we've got in our bank account, we can make a decision that is better for us, better for our family, because our expenses are leaner and we've got more sitting there that we can tap if we need it. It's the same with companies. The ones that have low overhead are able to pivot more quickly and weather longer economic downturns. And Matt, you and I kind of did this firsthand, right? For the first 2 years of this podcast, we recorded in the evening at your dining room table. We recorded late into the evening. It was a labor of love. But yeah, sometimes we're at the table until midnight, 12:30. And it was because we really wanted to create a great podcast. But we didn't start out by renting office space and getting super pro mics and having all the equipment in order to have the most baller podcast of all time.
We still don't have super pro mics. but we're still using the same microphones. But you know what? They're good enough, baby.
They are. But finally, we've moved into a legit space, and it's the basement beneath your house. And so, yeah, we know firsthand that staying lean can give you the ability to launch something and to create something that's going to last for a long time, as opposed to feeling like you have to meet this really expensive rent payment. It becomes an obligation every month, and it makes it really harder to sustain. And the great thing is too, Matt, your web presence can look really fancy. It can make you look really legit, but on the back end of that, you don't even have to be wearing pants while you're working. You don't even have to have a real office. So that web presence in and of itself can make a big difference in a lot of industries. So yeah, it's important for people to think about that. Stay lean if you're going to pivot, because that is going to keep more money in your bank account. It's going to make it easier to help you no matter which direction you're pivoting in to make that a success.
Yeah, and for the record, I will say that when we record, you and I both wear pants.
We both wear pants, for sure.
Another point I wanted to mention, man, is just staying flexible overall, right? The days of working for a single employer, like we were talking about earlier, like that's mostly over, right? Like this comes with some pros and cons as well, though. Like most young people entering the workforce, there are very few, if any, pensions out there. You're not going to get that gold watch, you know, at the end of your career. And so with hopping around to, you know, not just different companies, but different industries altogether, like there are pros and cons. But the biggest con, I feel like, is essentially the unpredictability, right? Like we don't know what's lying ahead of us. So prioritizing skills that can work in different industries could be your way to continually pivot well. We're not talking about just doing this once because of the pandemic. We're talking about basically like creating a set of skills that allow you to pivot well every 4 years, potentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we talked about, this isn't great advice for maybe, you know, somebody that has a more specialized skill, but it certainly makes sense for a lot of the modern workforce, especially for a lot of folks who work in digital industries. And I think more and more we're going to see that, right? Like we're going to see a need for folks to have some of those hard skills, essentially. Not only do we need to be comfortable with digital technologies, but we need to be proficient and professionals at the ability specifically to work remotely and just all the demands that are going to be required of us as so much of our workforce is now working from home.
Yeah, Matt, when you were saying that, it made me think about potentially someone who doesn't have to be as flexible, someone who owns their own business. Maybe they're a plumber or an electrician. But then I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I feel like those people actually have to be flexible in other ways, because people are going to find your service through specific avenues, and that's changed a good bit in the last 10, 15 years. So if you're relying on the same way of people finding out about the work that you do, it might be time to pivot slightly, at least in that way too. Like, word of mouth is great, and it's always going to be there for businesses that do really good work. But you know what? You might need to get some solid Google reviews, or you might need to get a Facebook presence that's meaningful. Or if you're an artist, you might need to get on Instagram so other people can find out about the work you do. You might be doing the same thing, but you're going to need to pivot in the way people find out about and end up reaching you.
Yeah, well, when you were talking about plumbers, I thought you were going to say that you have to be flexible, like physically as well, because sometimes it's hard to get up under that sink and find that leak.
That's a good point. No, yeah, I was going to put in a new faucet recently at my house, and I decided against it because it's so hard to get back up there behind the sink.
You didn't want that water squirting out like you would picture on a commercial or a sitcom.
Well, I was wondering, am I going to have the fortitude to follow through with this? Because if I don't, I've taken out a faucet that works perfectly fine, and I have not been able to replace it with something that works perfectly fine. So maybe I'll just hold off on that for right now.
Nice. Well, there you go, man. I think that was a wise move on your part.
My wife agrees with you.
All right, man. So, you know, we've talked about some overarching principles, essentially, right? We're talking about thinking ahead and being prepared, staying lean, staying flexible. Now, let's go ahead and dive into some specific things that we would recommend for folks to do, even, right, if you don't even know what you want to pivot to right now. But these are things that you can do to basically getting the ball rolling. And then hopefully very soon, you will see what the opportunity is for you. And the first thing we want to mention is networking. You know, you mentioned this at the top of the episode. You're referring to Farnoosh's episode where she was talking about how we still have our network. We still have who we are as individuals. And she also mentioned our network and the people that we know. This is even more crucial and important right now. Don't forsake the network that you've built up over the years. You want to make sure that you stay in touch. Reach back out to folks who you've met at conferences and events. A huge percentage of jobs are found through personal connections. And you never know when one of your personal connections are going to pan out. We talked about this in episode 62 with Jordan Harbinger. He is all about networking. He's basically probably one of the best people we know at networking and talking to folks and kind of keeping those lines of communication open and finding ways to help people. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to that one.
Yeah, that's definitely step number one, is making sure that network is intact and growing your network in whatever ways you can that are going to help you in your future pivots. Also, get your resume together. Make sure it looks really good. That can help you stand out from the crowd when you're applying for a job. And there are ways that you can get help with your resume. And it's worth it to pay someone to help you make sure your resume looks awesome if it looks like junk right now. You could certainly spend a lot of hours on it yourself, and there's no shame in that game. But it's also important to note that you could go somewhere like Fiverr or Etsy and pay $100 or $150 to have somebody help you make your resume look awesome. And make sure you're posting it on the right places too, looking for jobs in the right places. Monster.com, LinkedIn.com. In addition to hitting up your network to kind of see what's available, where people that you know work. But getting your resume together, making sure it looks great, and making sure it gets dispersed to all the right people for all the positions you're interested in. That's really crucial in order to be able to open up those potential pivoting opportunities.
Yeah, man, I was shocked at how many resume writers and reviewers there are on Etsy specifically, because you think of Etsy and you think of like a Woodlands candle or like
a handmade bracelet.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not trying to say that everybody on Etsy is doing stuff like that, but that's kind of what I think of, at least. But to search for resume reviewers and writers on Etsy, there are lots of folks who have 5 stars and hundreds of reviews, and that's just what they do. So I agree. I think that's a really great resource for a lot of folks out there who may not be, you know, willing to, you know, create a new LinkedIn account because that's just kind of not the world that they're in. They're not willing to go on there and submit their resume to, you know, the folks over at Monster and seeing what their thoughts are on their resume. Joe, you kind of mentioned this earlier in the episode as well. Like, we kind of talked about climbing the ladder there at your current job. But that's really important to keep in mind. You might not even have to leave your current employer in order to successfully pivot. Depending on how big your employer is and what skills you have, there's a good chance, I think, that you can stay put while pivoting towards better future career prospects. You may not be doing exactly what you were doing, you know, for the past 5 to 7 years, but you know that you've got what it takes in order to kind of switch roles. And it might be a lateral move for now, but you see the runway that you have in front of you, you know, after that lateral move. This is the kind of thinking that we want to encourage folks to do if they're not already thinking about that.
Yeah, I think it's important too, Matt, for people to give themselves a good bit of credit. I think lots of times pivoting seems like this daunting task, and people out there might have been listening to this whole episode with doubts about whether they can successfully pivot careers. It's this monumental thing, and you might feel stuck where you're currently at. But remember that you do have skills, and you do have connections, and those things are unique to you, right? So taking most of these steps into account, you can purposely pivot into something new. So make sure to give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Give yourself some credit. You can pivot too. It might be really, really hard to go from middle-aged truck driver to coding genius, right? There are some things that are a really big leap. It might be really, really hard to go from subpar podcaster to astronaut, right? That's probably not going to happen either. But there are a lot of opportunities for us that are inside a realm of possibility that we can pivot successfully. We can pivot into something that we enjoy more. We can pivot into something that earns us more money. There are all sorts of opportunities for us out there. It takes a little bit of gumption. It takes a little bit of work, but give yourself some credit because you can do it too, and you can make a pivot into something that's better for you and better for your family.
Man, I think the benefit too that we have now is that so many of us are in a position where we don't have a choice, right? Necessity is the mother of all invention, and a lot of folks may have been very happy with a job had it continued on for another 10 or 20 years. But I think a lot of folks are in a position to where they're going to be forced to make that change. And so I almost see that as a silver lining to the pandemic, is that it's forcing a lot of people out of their comfort zones to do something that they would never have even considered before.
Yeah, sometimes we just need that kick in the pants to make a move we otherwise wouldn't have.
And one last thing, too, that's important to keep in mind is that this episode is about our careers. It's about our work. But we want to point out that work is not everything. Part of finding satisfaction in our work is realizing that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. There are some folks listening to this episode who might need to stay where they are, right? We're not encouraging everybody to change what they're currently doing. However, pivoting is going to be a necessity for a lot of folks right now, and just something smart for others to consider too. And you know, as you're searching for how to move forward in a quickly changing economy, like that's going to continue to change even after there's a COVID vaccine, right? Like make sure that you continue to think about what the future of work specifically looks like for you. And also remember that your continued flexibility in career choices is going to be really important to the success of your overall career. Because we stay with, you know, specific employers for so much less time, and because our likelihood of changing career paths altogether is very high, staying flexible is going to be one of the biggest keys to work and career success.
Yeah, Matt, once again, I think the only true constant is change. And times like this only seem to speed up the pace at which changes are taking place. And right now, our economy is seeing a big shift. And so everybody out there, we want you to be able to have a fulfilling career. We want you to be able to work at something that you're passionate about, that earns you enough money to support your family, to support them well. And pivoting consistently is going to be a huge part of that for people in their working lifetimes. But let's get back to the beer, Matt. Today on the show, we had Twisted Galaxy by Toppling Goliath Brewing Company. This was sent to us by listener Joe. So yeah, Matt, what was your take on this double IPA?
Yeah, man, this was a good one. You know, I'll say, like a lot of IPAs, this one poured a nice golden color, and it was kind of halfway between that New England style and kind of the old style, kind of old school West Coast IPA. Like it was a little bit hazy, a little bit cloudy, but it sort of had a foot in both camps, right? I'll say too, one of the first things I noticed before taking a sip was just the tropical citrusy notes, and my first sip confirmed all of that. It had those kind of grapefruit and orange notes, but then it also had some of the kind of pithy, like, you know, citrus skins bitterness that accompanies those hops as well. And so, yeah, it wasn't a shock. You know, this is, I feel like, a classic example of a sort of modern IPA. Really enjoyed this one. I'll go ahead and mention, too, that this is by Toppling Goliath, and this isn't the first great IPA that we've had by them. So I'm glad that you and I, we got to share another one of their beers on the podcast.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah, this was a double IPA that was very, very citrus heavy. I got mostly oranges from the Galaxy hops that they used when they brewed this beer. And it did have, yeah, some nice citrus sort of bitterness at the same time. So a really good example of a double IPA, kind of straddling the grounds between an older school IPA and a new school IPA. So yeah, Toppling Goliath beers are really good. We've had some good ones from them. And this one's up there, man, a really good double IPA from the folks over there.
And good news for us living here in Atlanta and other folks in Georgia is that Toppling Goliath started distributing here.
Yes,
for us.
Finally.
Which means that we can purchase Toppling Goliath now ourselves, which is awesome. So we can jump on some of that King Sue and, you know, whenever it's, I guess, available and on the shelves. But
yeah,
looking forward to more of their beers.
Yeah, me too. Big thanks to Joe for sending this one our way.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
And Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. For folks that want to find out more about this podcast, and if you want show notes for this specific episode, just go to our website at howtomoney.com.
And maybe you're listening to this episode and you really enjoyed it, but you're thinking, you know what, I'm pretty happy with my job, but you know somebody who might be in a situation and they might find this episode really helpful. And if that's the case, we would ask for you to tell them about our show, How to Money. Let them know about this specific episode. Subscribing and reviewing obviously is really helpful for us, but you really can't beat kind of that old-fashioned word of mouth. So to all of you who are going to strike up a podcast conversation and ask your friend, you know, what they've been listening to recently, thanks in advance.
Yeah, word of mouth. Even better than that sweet Facebook page.
It's right. True.
Yep. All right, Matt, that's going to be it for this episode. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.